Well, I have one of my heroes on the phone line here, a man who was there at the start of British beat music, and before, in fact. Welcome to the programme, Ray Ennis of the Swinging Blue Jeans.
Well, Gary, it's lovely to speak to you, as usual.
Thank you.
Because you're one of my heroes.
Yeah, so you're back out on the road.
Yep.
In February, isn't it, starts?
We start 28th of February at High Wycombe.
Right, yeah, and it's another sort of casual jaunt, only just about the 80 dates, I think, isn't it?
No, actually, this one's quite short. It's 56 dates.
Oh, right.
With 9 double shows, so we'll take that up to, 64?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, because the last one we did was 69, I think it was, or something. And the one before that, when we did the Liverpool one with Searches, Jerry and Merseybeat,
yeah,
like something like 96 dates.
That was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, but this is just a little jaunt.
A little jaunt. And going back to the very early days, now, can you put me right on a couple of things, because I might be wrong about this. Were the Swinging Blue Jeans the first band to ever appear at the Cavern?
Well, yes, we were. I'll tell you why. Because Alan Sittner opened the Cavern in 1957 as a jazz club, and they used to just have a jazz band on. You know, it wasn't two jazz bands or three, just a jazz band. And they used to play for, you know, an hour and a quarter, and then, of course, the Cavern didn't sell any booze at all. It just had, you know, it was a coffee bar.
Yeah.
At the back. So they, after about an hour and a quarter, the jazzers used to go down the road to the pub, which was the... there was two pubs. It was the White Star and the Grapes. But the jazzers always went to the White Star. It was a bath house, you know, for anybody who's on your programme who is interested in booze. Bass wasn't the most pleasant drink to have, but it was better than Andrew's liver salts.
Right.
Let's put it that way. So then there was like, 45 minutes of no music. And in them days, 1957, nobody ever had, PA systems with playing music over and all that sort of thing. So we used to be in there drinking coffee and having a hot dog or whatever. And we were a skiffle group at the time. And the manager of the cab was a guy called Ricky Ashen. And we said to him, could we possibly play, skiffle music? Because, skiffle was quite popular then, because Lonnie Donegan had started with Chris Barber. Mm. And we came across it when we used to, go to, there was a theatre just outside Liverpool. And Chris Barber used to play on a Sunday night there occasionally, and they used to have an interval there. And instead of everybody just sitting there or whatever, Chris Barber and Lonnie Donegan and Beryl Bryden, who used to sing with the Barber band then, she played washboard. Barber went on bass, and he used to just play, Rock Island Line and all those sort of songs, which in them days nobody heard of,
No.
And just filled in the interval. And that's how skiffle started, basically, It wasn't just in Liverpool, they did it wherever they went in the country,
Yeah, yeah.
Because we watched this and we thought, well, they could do that at the Cavern,
Yeah.
So we said to Ricky Ashen, so anyway, long story short, okay, come and do it next Sunday. So we went on the next Sunday and we played our skiffle. And it went down very well. So we suddenly, every Sunday night, we were resident at the Cavern.
Mm.
From 1957, 1958, 1959. And of course it was still a jazz club then.
Yeah.
But then Alan Sittner, who is now Mr. Sittner BMW in Nottingham.
Oh, right.
Massive big company.
Yeah.
Sold the Cavern to his accountant, Ray McFall.
Yes.
Ray McFall took it over. By this time, jazz was on the wane, apart from Acker Bilk and Benny Ball, who'd gone big time then, so they wouldn't come and play at places like the Cavern.
Yeah.
So Ray started bringing in rock and roll.
Yeah.
But we were still sort of then, right, you know, 1960, 61, we were still playing our, you know, skiffle-ish, as Bob Woolley called it, he called it sophisticated skiffle.
Right.
Because we had a front line of three guitars, and we had banjo, bass, and drums, you know, at the back. So we were a six-piece in them days.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as I say, rock and roll came in, you know, Jerry and the Pacemakers, you know, Searchers, all bands like that started coming in. And then the Cavern was closed on a Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday. It only opened on a Thursday.
Right.
So we thought, so we said to Ray McFaul, another little brainchild here, we could actually do a Blue Jeans guest night on a Tuesday.
Hmm.
Yeah. And he said, oh, I don't think that'll be a good... He said, Tuesday, nobody goes out on a Tuesday.
Hmm.
I said, well, because they've got nowhere to go, that's why. So let's give it a try and see how it goes, you know. For the first couple of weeks, yeah, people came, but it wasn't that busy. But then all of a sudden, when he put an advert in the Liverpool Echo, Cavern is now open on a Tuesday, whack, you know, people started coming down, you know.
Oh, right.
And we were getting full houses. So what we were doing, basically, was all our friends, you know, i.e. Jerry and King Size Taylor and the Dominoes, Billy J. Kramer and all that, we put them on a Tuesday night.
Right, yeah.
Two bands and us, and we had a, it was just called Blue Jeans Guest Night.
Yeah.
And it worked a treat, you know, it was superb, you know.
Yeah.
I think it was March 1961, Ray McFaul said, listen, there's this band coming back from Hamburg, Liverpool band, and he said, call the Beatles. And I said, well, we've never heard of them, you know. He said, well, no, they're not really well known. He said, but I've heard they're good, and I want to listen to them, and if necessary, I'll book them, you know. So we said, yeah, okay, yeah, put them on the guest night, you know. So the Beatles came on our guest night, I think it was March 1961, and this is when Stuart Sutcliffe was with them.
Yes, yeah.
Supposedly playing bass.
Oh, right.
Paul McCartney had, I always remember the guitar he had, it was a Lucky 6, which was the cheapest guitar you could ever get in your life, but he wasn't allowed to plug in to the amplifiers at all. So he was just sort of miming, you know.
Oh, right, yes.
And they came on, and we were on our way to the pub, but, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have a listen to these. You know, we knew Jerry, and we knew all the other bands.
Yeah.
These Beatles, let's see. And they were absolutely dreadful. Listen to one song, and we went to the pub.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
But then they went back again to Hamburg, and then Stuart stayed there. And then when they came back the next time, Macca was on the bass, and they were a totally different band, and they were superb, you know.
Yeah.
The rest is history, you know.
Yeah, wonderful story.
I tell you what, I wish I'd have signed them.